This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. He wears a name tag 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Scott Ginsburg took an amazingly simple, almost silly idea and brilliantly created a successful career for himself, building a thriving publishing, consulting, and public speaking company. Hello, my name is Scott. Author Scott Ginsburg joins us to talk about what he has to be one of the most unusual career paths you'll ever hear of. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, Scott.
Almost silly. It's completely silly.
I was trying to be diplomatic, Scott. You're in Portland now, right?
I was. I actually live in Brooklyn now.
Okay, so you're in Brooklyn, but you actually have a local tie, don't you?
Well, I'm a Prague graduate of Miami, 2002.
Okay. Now, how long ago was it that you came up with the name tag idea? And based on what I heard on your YouTube video, you probably know that down to the exact day. So how long has it been?
So the exact day was November 2nd of 2000, which is 4,893 days ago today.
I knew you'd know the exact number.
I actually don't. I don't actually know. My website keeps track of it, so God bless technology.
What was your inspiration for doing this?
Well, when you go to seminars on campus, they often give you name tags. And when the seminars are complete, most people throw their name tags in the trash. Well, when I look into a trash can, I don't see trash. I see treasure. That's kind of the way my brain works. And I thought, what the heck? Maybe I'll just leave my name tag on all day. And sure enough, yeah, it was just sort of an experiment, and people were so responsive, and I had so much fun, you know, saying hi to people and kind of connecting with strangers, that I made a vow that I would wear a name tag all day, every day for the rest of my life.
And now a lot of college grads, they'll go into law, they'll go into engineering or science or something like that, you know, more traditional fields. What exactly pulled you toward this?
Well, I didn't go to the career fair. I just hired myself and got to work. And you got to remember, this is back in 2002 when the economy was doing pretty well and companies were hiring and there was the whole tech scene, you know, with Silicon Valley. And, you know, instead of going that path, I wrote a book my senior year because, hey, I was a writer and that's what writers do. So when my first book came out right after I graduated, I just hit a stroke of luck and the book kind of went viral before viral was viral and launched my career.
Now, what was your major at Miami?
Take a guess.
Let's see. English, communications, business. I'm not a good guesser, Scott.
Well, most people say psychology, and the answer is kind of.
Okay.
I was a marketing student, and that kind of is psychology, if you will, in the business world.
Now, how did your parents react to all this? I mean, it had to be an interesting story.
So graduation day, May 5th, 2002, with my cap and gown and a name tag over my gown, I said to my parents, Mom, Dad, I want to wear a name tag every day for the rest of my life. And just to show you how great my parents are, they responded with a four-letter word.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I won't make you guess. I'll just tell you. The four-letter word was cool.
You wouldn't want to hear what I might have guessed, but so they said cool to this.
Yeah, that was the four-letter word that they said. I'm sure there were other four-letter words in the back of their mind, but, you know, I come from a family of people that are fundamentally affirmative and encouraging and supportive. You know, I grew up in a family of artists and entrepreneurs and performers, so it was only natural that they would be supportive of this idea and eventually the career that grew from it.
Well, and do you think that they helped shape your attitude toward doing this as well?
Oh, I don't take any credit for this. I always tell them that this is all their fault. I mean, that's kind of how parenting works. Your kids are your fault, good or bad. And so when people celebrate tons of books or speeches or, you know, a lot of the great accomplishments that I'm proud to have done, I kind of tell them, well, when you have unbelievable parents that are affirmative and supportive in your creative endeavors, it is a lot easier.
Now, I got to challenge you on this, Scott. Do you really wear a name tag 24/7?
When I say 24/7, I mean 24/7.
Literally.
So that means at the beach, in the shower, even the bed, because you never know who you might meet. And if you're wondering logistically how that works, I actually have a name tag tattooed on my chest.
Okay. Well, what's the point of getting it tattooed on your chest? Is that a commitment thing?
There's a lot of key points to that. First of all, I was just tired of putting a sticker onto my actual chest because I'm a hairy guy and it's like the 40-year-old virgin every time I rip it off. But the more important part of it is about commitment. I'm all about commitment. I don't do moderation. This is just the way my brain works. And so when I got the name tag tattooed on my chest, that sense of commitment actually turned into a sense of commerce. And this is where it gets really interesting, because right around 2005, when I got the name tag tattoo, I've been in business a couple of years, but that was the time my company actually started turning a profit. I think that is incredibly interesting that when we commit, literally commit, the world doesn't just pay attention, it pays dividends.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty quick turnaround for seeing your company actually create a profit.
Well, and you know what the best part about that whole thing is that since then, my tattoo of a name tag has been on every single list on the internet and all around the media as one of the worst tattoos of all time. it's amazing. All you have to do is Google name tag tattoo, and I'm on every list. Like MSN Living's worst tattoos of all time. I was number 3 last summer. You know, I've been asked to be on reality shows about getting my tattoo removed. And it's so incredible, because who's the joke on, right?
That is incredible. And you've ended up near the top of the list, too, as you were saying. That's the other thing that's amazing about
it.
You also ended up in Ripley's, didn't you, for wearing your name tag for so long?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I applied to Guinness Book like 4 different times, but they always reject my application because essentially I break my own record every single day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I understand that Guinness Book is very strict. Now, Ripley's is kind of where all of the freaks who can't get into Guinness Book are put. And I was in Guinness Book back in 2005, in Ripley's, and I didn't know about it until a year or two later. I was giving a presentation to this association, and I was telling the story about Ripley's Believe It or Not and how I didn't even know I was in it. And there was a guy in the audience from Ripley's who came there specifically to apologize that he never asked for my permission and gave me a free copy of the book.
And now, you know, you've got the name tag tattoo, and of course you wear the actual name tag on your clothing. Now, it's not the same name tag every day, is it? You're making different name tags up, right?
Obviously, I make different ones when they're needed. You know, when I go to Skyline Chili and I spill, you know, sauce all over my name tag, I have to replace it. But I try to save paper and try to conserve as many of them I can. You know, my wife is an environmentalist, so she doesn't like me throwing them away every day.
What's the process we're doing a name tag? You're pretty picky about how they turn out, aren't you?
I'm very picky, because it's not a badge, it's a brand. And if there's one thing I've learned after 4,893 in branding, consistency is far better than rare moments of greatness. So I have a ritual. I sit down, I don't know, once a month, and I bang them out. And it takes me a couple to kind of get into the flow, but if they're not perfect, they go into the slush pile and I never wear them.
Now, Scott, when you started out and you had that first book out, how did you approach your potential clients, and how did you pitch your services?
The answer is I didn't, because I wasn't smart enough to position myself in that way. This was one of the biggest mistakes I made. You know, my marketing professor, the great David Rosenthal, he once told me, you got to know what your product is. And I remember when my first book came out, I said, Dr. Rosenthal, I'm not making any money. Nothing's happening. And he said, well, what's your product? What are you selling? And I didn't realize at the time that what I was selling was me. What I was selling was the insight and perspective that I had gained. So the first book, Hello, My Name is Scott, I didn't really sell any copies other than my grandmother, because all it was a book of stories. It wasn't until later that I started to monetize it and find clients, because it wasn't about a name tag. It was about approachability.
Well, when did you first realize that you had something solid? I know you say you turned a profit pretty quickly. When was it that it first dawned on you that, wow, this is something I can do the rest of my life?
I think it was a series of little moments. You know, there was that first day when people responded to it. There was the first day of senior year after I had been away all summer, and people remembered me like, hey, aren't you the name tag guy? And I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, yeah. And it's like people knew who I was. I was sort of interesting before I opened my mouth. And I thought, now there's something there. And so when the book came out and when I got tons of interviews and press coverage and when, I guess when our website shut down, that was a pretty good sign that something was going well.
Oh, so your website got crashed because of so many people going to it.
It did. And in fact, I certainly had my share of hate mail and negative reactions during the height of the media.
You've had hate mail?
I still get hate mail. It's the most incredible thing. People send me hate mail and they call me horrible names.
You seem like such a nice guy.
And I am a nice guy. And I think that's what pisses people off is when you see someone who is living their authentic life and doing what's important to them, it kind of holds up a mirror and people go, well, why should you be successful? I don't have any success. And it's the strangest thing. People, I've had death threats. I've had people send me the most horrible responses. And all I do is say, thank you for the content of my next book, you jerk.
Well, now you got my sordid curiosity up. What are some examples of hate mail that you've gotten?
Well, I actually have a list. I did a TED talk about 2 months ago, and part of the talk, which you can watch online, I share my favorite all-time hate mail. And, you know, there's a couple that stand out. One of my favorites was someone said, Scott, you are nuttier than a bag of trail mix.
And do keep it clean, Scott, as we go along here.
Oh, of course, I understand. And that was great. The best one that I think, though, someone sent me an email and called me an egotistical loser who has no life that would probably buy cigarettes for 13-year-olds. What does that mean?
Oh, wow. But, you know, the interesting thing is, like you're saying, you haven't let that get in your way. It just kind of comes with the territory, doesn't it? You just say,
right.
Well, you're just giving me ideas for what I'm going to write about in the future.
Right. Exactly. And it's all part of the deal. You know, a friend of mine is also a fellow author. And one of the pieces of advice he gave me, he says, be careful that any time you are touched by a hand, you're also going to be assaulted by a fist.
Interesting advice. You know, in the video, you started to touch on this a little bit. In the video that I watched, you talk about leveraging a simple idea that the name tag is not a badge. It's a brand. Is that what yeah. drives this whole thing?
It is. And what's interesting is that 14 years after the fact, the name tag becomes less and less important. Yeah, I still wear it every day, and it's the centerpiece of everything I do. It is my brand, and if you Google the word name tag, I come up everywhere. But what's cool is that in these 14 years, I've been able to build an entire sort of empire, if you will, that ranges from books and speaking and, you know, developing curriculum and training programs, and, you know, I'm working on my first movie, and, you know, all of these sort of interesting creative endeavors have blossomed out of the name tag. But what I tell people is that while the name tag identifies me, it doesn't define me.
Scott, how many books, how many clients, how much opportunity has this turned into for you?
The short answer is all of it. but the specific answer, I've written 27 books in whatever, 13, 14 years. I've traveled around the world. I've given over 600 presentations and one-man shows and trainings to a variety of, you know, Fortune 500 companies. I'm not going to go on and on and list my entire resume, but it's really incredible to have been able to, you know, mass communicate in a million different ways. I mean, when I was at Miami University, I was one of the managers at WMSR Red Hawk Radio, and I learned about mass communication, and it's incredible now that I get paid to do that.
And Scott, you'll work with any type of company. Is there a particular type that you work with?
Not necessarily. You know, in the world of consulting, publishing, speaking, training, my niche is me. You know, I have a unique body of experience and intellectual property that no one else has. And so I work with companies anywhere from Nestle to Monsanto, to General Electric, but I also work with a lot of associations that you've never heard of, like the National Potato Council.
Okay. Now, do you have
like, a...
Go ahead.
Pardon me. The point is, you know, clients come to me and they say, hey, we read this book or we saw this particular speech and we think this would be good for our group. And essentially, my job in the world of marketing is to be the bullseye, not the arrow. My job is to sort of create one big juicy target and then allow the clients to target me. And when they say, hey, could you do some on-camera work at our trade show and help introduce people and get people opening up and engaging? And I say, absolutely. That, to me, is the best way I found to market my business.
Now, do you have employees, and do they wear name tags?
I don't have employees. It's just me. I did have a dog, but we had to part company, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Although the dog did wear a name tag, so I will say that for the limited time that I was a manager, I did spread that name tag message.
Now, have you been back to Miami to speak to marketing classes?
All the time. I got a chance to. I think I've actually gone back to Miami and spoke almost every year since I graduated. I mentioned before Dr. David Rosenthal, one of my mentors and my professor. And I've taught his class. I've gone back and worked with different programs in the business school, and it's really great. You know, when I was in college back in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was a lot different. The course curriculum was a lot more limited. Google didn't exist. There was no social media. So it's really exciting to go back and to learn from the students and find out what their world is like.
What do you recommend for kids who are graduating today in a poor job market? You give them advice on how to find that one thing that they can make a career out of?
That's a great question. And frankly, I would be terrified if I were these kids that are about to graduate in, you know, a month and a half, because it's tough out there. And so here's my advice. Focus is not what we think it is. I used to have this idea that focus was sort of about, you know, hammering one nail all your life. And I don't think that's the case. Something I've discovered, and sort of as I've been sharing with you guys today in my story, is that focus isn't about hammering one nail all your life. It's about hammering a lot of nails one way all your life. And so for these people that are graduating, I encourage them to stay focused, make your focus around your identity, not the activity.
So anyone can take the lesson of the name tag and apply it to their business and their personal lives. Is that the point?
I certainly hope so. I remember hearing a great quotation that Leonardo da Vinci wanted his artwork to reward people from every angle that they looked at it. And I'm certainly not comparing myself to da Vinci. I just like that idea of, I want to present a story that people can superimpose their own ideas on and kind of get their own value on it. So I certainly hope that there's a different lesson for everybody.
And you're not suggesting that we all take up wearing name tags, are you, Scott?
You know, for the longest time, people accused me of starting a cult about getting everyone to wear name tags. And obviously that has never been the case. Although I have name tags in my wallet at all times, I give them to people if they ask. But no, I certainly don't encourage everyone to do it. However, a couple of years ago, just as an exercise, as a writing project, I did the sociological research on the social implications of wearing a name tag, and I created a manifesto.
Okay.
And called the Name Tag Manifesto, and I basically build out what would literally happen from a social perspective if we all wore name tags. And it was really fun to write, and it's probably going to eventually turn into a graphic novel or some sort of epic book series, because there are a lot of implications. You know, if we all wore name tags every day, it would be a lot harder to kill people.
Yes, it would be. Scott, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Author, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Author, consultant, and public speaker Scott Ginsberg.